Julian Stodd's Learning Pod.
A mindset for mobile learning. Today, I want to think about mobile learning, but not from the technology point of view. It's more about the mindset that sits behind it. I want to start by looking at the mobile world, just seeing how things have changed over the last few years and how it's starting to impact increasingly in learning and development. Then go on to talk about the difference between technology and experience. We'll take a quick look at the features and functions before settling at the triumvirate of mobile learning, looking at three things that we really need to consider if we're going to develop effective solutions in this space. And finally, I want to bring it back to practical applications, looking at things that can be done in the organisation this year. We know that mobile devices have permeated every aspect of our lives. We carry one or two phones in our pocket, and then a tablet or even a laptop that can connect remotely. But in terms of learning, what mobile's done is extend the learning experience. It's taken us away from just having abstract, formal learning experiences, which happen within a classroom or within a piece of e-learning, and it's allowed us to move those into longer periods of time. We have pre-course learning. We have material that supplements what happens within workshops, but then there's access to a whole range of performance support materials afterwards, things that we can access rapidly whilst we're on the move. What's the benefit of this? Well, largely, it's because we have inquisitive minds. We want to find things out rapidly. Think about how you use your mobile phone yourself. What do you use it for? We use it to find train times, to check emails, to send texts, to access Facebook. It's short snippets of information. It's not a deep and reflective space. It's just-in-time kind of performance. We're naturally inquisitive. We want to find things out, and good applications for mobile are ones that let you do it rapidly. Now, that's a very different mindset from the one that we use when we're creating e-learning, where very often we start with formal introduction screens. We need people to log on to things. We give them lengthy contexts and introductions, and none of that's relevant in the mobile world. Our mindset needs to be about speed. It's what you can get to in 9 seconds rather than 2 minutes, and certainly not 20 minutes. Think about the pub quiz, where people come together and you want to find information out fast. That's the context where you really want to be using your mobile phone. And of course, you're not allowed to because it's cheating, but it's an effective way of learning. So outside of that environment, that's when we use it to find things out fast. As organisations, we need to be taking chances because one of the things we can see from the commercial environment around mobile is that there are an awful lot of failures. Just looking on my iPad, I've got 112 different apps, of which only 55 I've used more than once. And that's because lots of them aren't really very good. And I'm not going to give them a lot of time to prove themselves. They either have to work fast or I'm not interested. And that's because within this commercial environment, it's a very unforgiving situation. Things have to be seamless, they have to work, they have to not crash, or we're just not going to be interested because there's plenty of good alternatives out there. It's a free market. So in an organisational context, we have to take note of this. We can't assume that we're going to make the right solution first time round. We have to be creating space for experimentation. We have to be learning by making those mistakes. So it's better to be doing small and iterative projects rather than trying to scope some really substantial mobile application development and then discovering that we're one of the ones that didn't make it. So we need to take chances, but they need to be sensible chances. It's very easy to miss the point of mobile. Very often, individuals or organisations will focus on the technology, thinking that that's what's going to deliver something great. But of course it isn't. It's about the experience. It's about what we do with it that counts. So we can end up spending a lot of time worrying about whether to use HTML5 or whether we're going to program something as a native app on an iPhone, whilst in fact what we need to be thinking about is the everyday reality of the people who are using it. What are they using it for? If people have inquisitive minds, what do they want to find out? And how are we presenting that information in the most time-efficient manner possible? We know the things which cause people to engage with solutions. Number one is when it's relevant. And so things have to be presented in that really tightly focused way that suits mobile. We need to think of it much as you would if you were putting on a concert. You need to coordinate the experience over time. You need to do some of the elements around the learning in different media. So some of it might be done through emails. Some of it might be done when you're within a workshop. Only certain elements are going to be done through mobile learning. Other parts might take place in social spaces that surround the experience. But the key thing is, you have to do the right thing at the right time. You don't start a rock concert off with the fireworks. They come at the end because you have to build up to it. And we need to think about that, the choreography. It's a show that we're putting on from the very first time we contact people to the very last time they leave that experience and move back into their everyday reality. Features and functions. Whilst I've said already that it's not about the technology, we certainly want to understand what can be done with these devices, particularly what works and what doesn't. So whilst we don't want to allow the latest greatest thing to drive the shape of the solutions, we do need to understand what can be done and what's effective. We know that text isn't a great thing to be using. Long passages just don't work. But we do find that video and audio are really good. They can be used for demonstration, for exploration, and to provide a commentary around it. Interactivity needs to be limited. We don't want to be taking models that we'd do on a computer where there's plenty of real estate to work on and trying to make them work on the phone. As ever, we have to think about what's the interactivity adding and is the experience going to be worthwhile. So it needs to be valid in terms of the learning design, but we also need to think how it's going to work with that really limited real estate. There are also some problems because between different handsets, interactivity works in different ways. So unless we're really confident what we're doing and we're really careful about how we develop it, it's generally best to avoid any kind of really extreme interactivity. Two of the more interesting areas are geolocation and augmented reality. Geolocation is where the device knows where you are, but if we can get it to present relevant information based upon that, then that's where it starts to become interesting. Instead of you needing to proactively go out and seek that information out, it's going to be presenting it to you. And in the performance support capacity, that's highly relevant. Augmented reality is where we can take the view through the video camera on the phone and we can superimpose metadata upon it. We can put additional layers of information that you can mine through. And that starts to become significant because it doesn't have to be just facts and figures. It may be historical data. It may allow you to strip layers off the view and to see what's underneath. But both of these things are expensive to develop and they're complicated. And there are very few really successful commercial applications out there. So whilst we want to be experimenting with this, we want to be careful about diving in too fast until we discover what really assists and augments the learning rather than what's just a cool feature. So we can look back and we can see historically where the technology has come from. And we can look to the future and see that there are going to be new innovations in terms of how these devices interact with us. A lot of it's going to be to do with this filtering of information dependent on where we are and what we're doing. There's all sorts of interesting work going on at the moment, for example, around remote learning. Some interesting projects looking at teaching dance remotely, using the tilt meters and accelerometers within the phone so that students can be moving whilst holding the device and getting feedback from somebody remotely about that. So there are interesting technical and also artistic and creative things which are being explored. And we need to keep an eye on this. We need to not be driven by it. We need to see what works and use that to inform our learning design. The triumvirate of mobile learning. I think it's useful to think about three different elements. We need to think about people, we need to think about the environment they work in, and we need to think about the subject. Understanding people is about understanding their everyday reality, not what we think they're doing or what we think they need, but asking them what they actually need. Very often, those two views don't line up well. From an organisational point of view, there's a great appeal in developing and distributing mobile learning to get people to do things whilst they're commuting or whilst they're at home, to give people access to information outside the office. But we need to understand what their everyday reality is like outside. We need to think about if they're in noisy environments, if they just want to read their book on the train, or how they're going to be using the information that we're sending them. There's more to mobile than just trying to push assessments so that people do it in their own time. If we're going to develop really effective solutions, they have to be things which actually enhance the learning. So we need to understand the audience and the segmentation of it, because the other thing we know for sure is that people will only engage with these types of solutions when they're relevant, when they're timely. So we need to understand whether that's true of the whole group or just of a subset of it. Environment is about the places that you're going to be using it. We're often looking at using mobile for performance support to provide information at the right time in the right format. So we need to understand what that environment is. Are people in a sales context? Are they in meetings? Are they going to be sharing with this technology? Are they going to be showing sales tools or showing data to clients? How do they access it? Understanding the choreography of that piece is very important. So we need to understand the people, their everyday reality, and the environment that they operate within. We then need to think really carefully about whether the subject is inherently suitable for mobile learning, because many things aren't. So often we find that the drivers for developing mobile solutions are to reduce time spent on it when you're within the workplace, or to distribute existing materials in a different format through a different channel. But we need to ask if that's actually an effective use of it. We know that text isn't great to be put across to mobile devices, so if we're just taking existing e-learning courses and pushing them out with lots of text in them, they're unlikely to work. Similarly, interactivity isn't going to work very well. So we need to decide if we're going to do that, are we going to reauthor specifically for mobile? Just pushing stuff out through mobile as a different channel for distribution is about as far from the mindset for mobile learning as you can get. In real terms, our mindset needs to be about why knowledge is no longer enough. It used to be that if you knew things, that gave you authority. It gave you position and power. But it's not really about that anymore. It's about our ability to find things out fast and critically to do something relevant with that information. Our ability to discover things from multiple sources and synthesize that into meaningful transformative action. And that's where mobile, or a mindset for mobile, really becomes relevant. Organizationally, we need to think about what that process is. How do people want to behave? How are we enabling them to do that with the technology? So it's far more than just looking at features, and it's far more than just trying to push things out because it's convenient. It's about understanding our changing relationship with knowledge and using the technology to facilitate that experience. Practical implementation. To round things off, I want to think about three practical areas where we can implement mobile learning this year, cheaply and quickly. Performance support is the first area, and this is about how we enhance people's ability to do their jobs. It's about providing exactly the right information in the right format at the right time. So let's take a practical example of where we've got a sales team who are out on the road. There's going to be lots of policy documents, lots of information which we want to get to them, and pretty much none of it is going to be suitable to send out to those people because it's going to be too wordy, it's going to be too long. But what we can do is we can write some really short and punchy guides to go with it. These want to be one or two paragraphs, small pieces of information which tell you the key things that you need to know. So if it's about a particular sales process, we don't need all the documents, we don't need all the diagrams, we certainly don't need pages of text. In a performance support context, we're going to be giving people small pieces of information, very concise, very tight stories. And we don't really need to invest in a great deal of technology to deliver these, because we know that the devices will accept things like PDFs rapidly. So better to have your bookshelf on the phone full of some short, punchy PDF documents, something that could be written quickly, can be distributed quickly, but can actually make a difference to people. Finally, let's think about using mobile learning to support social learning. Social learning can be described as the layers of semi-formal or informal learning that surround formal experiences, and it's something that we're seeing a great deal of development in at the moment. And a key thing about social learning is that it's about community and it's about conversation. And mobile comes in here because it facilitates you getting into that community whilst you're on the road. This is why we see so many people using Facebook whilst they're out and about, because it's easy to do. And we need to think in those terms, how we can use mobile to let people interact into those communities. Social learning communities are around challenge and around support. So allowing people who are out and about to access that kind of resource is very valuable. And again, we don't need to create our own environment to do this. We can use existing technology. So LinkedIn and Facebook both allow us to create spaces, to create groups, and we can use that. So it's more about developing the mindset about how we can work with the populations to encourage them to use these spaces and allow them to access it through the devices. So in this sense, it's something that can be done very quickly, very easily, and you can have a dialogue with the learners about how they're doing it. There is an important role which is around moderation, around facilitation. So we do need to think about who within the learning sphere is going to be managing that. And it shouldn't just be the most junior person in the team. It's about how we create and curate these stories with learners. But supporting social learning is a very valuable use of mobile technology. Summary. We've covered a few areas, thinking about the history and the future development of mobile technology, but understanding that experience is facilitated by technology, but not guaranteed by it, and it's experience that we're looking for. So we're thinking about practical ways in which we can utilise mobile to develop a mindset for mobile learning. And this is about enhancing learning, not about selling the features of technology. We've thought about the triumvirate of mobile learning, about understanding people and their everyday reality, about understanding the environment that they work within and what the particular needs are for groups and subgroups within that, and understanding subject, being brave enough to say that some subjects just don't suit mobile, whilst others, of course, give us great potential to really develop innovative, enhanced solutions. We've thought about why knowledge in itself is no longer enough. It's about how we can gather various sources of knowledge and we can synthesise that into meaningful action. And anything we can do with the technology that facilitates that journey is valuable. We've also thought about some practical ideas for implementation around performance support, which is getting the right information to the right people in really concise formats. We've thought about just-in-time learning, which can be about pulling together short and punchy modules of information, using perhaps video or podcasts to do that. And we've talked a little about supporting social learning, how we can encourage people to participate in these communities where meaning is created, but through the mobile devices. So to conclude, to develop a mindset for mobile learning, we need to be thinking about our methodology, about what we're doing at what time, about how we're using the technology to facilitate the experience. We know we're not going to get it right first time, but if we think about people, about the environment, and about the subject, and if we're willing to iterate our way to success, we'll be able to create really cost-effective and dynamic mobile learning solutions.
Julian's learning blog, covering a wide range of subjects, at julianstodd.wordpress.com, or follow him on Twitter, Julian Stodd.